his eyes watching me intently. Since there were no more warriors from the People's Republic of China left alive this far east, that meant an Autobot was nearby. A PRC warbot was on my land. A perker. Its presence had triggered the sensor and notified the mother chapter I was in trouble. I came slowly upright, dropped my feet. As Mateo processed the same things I had, he cursed into my earbud, softly, long, and inventively. His voice carried anger, as much as his metallic voice allowed. Mateo hated perkers, and with good reason. I looked at the hunter cats. They were no longer looking at me, or the OMW. They were tracking something. Cat heads swung back and forth as they accumulated info and stored it in their linked consciousness. Something besides the enforcer was on the property. Bloody damn hell. In my peripheral vision, I tracked the cats as I put it all together. Each PRC warbot, perkers in the lingo, was unique, created by the massive things the U.S. military called mama bots. They were built according to a bot algorithm only another bot could understand. The PRC mama bots had pulled themselves out of the waters of Possession Sound, Washington, and begun destroying everything in their paths. With the detritus of destroyed cities, their mechanical nanobots built perker crawlers. The crawlers crawled off the mama bot assembly lines by the thousands and hitched a ride on anything that moved, crossing the country, moving east until they found a place that looked nice, a town or small city, which they destroyed and took apart to make more of themselves. Or they buried themselves in the soil like mines, hidden where they could stay for years. Each crawler had a timer or trigger that set it off. When activated, they'd dig themselves out of the soil, like locusts or cicadas, and go hunting, find a target, destroy it. Perker crawlers could be the size of a tank or as small as a wheelbarrow, but none had been seen in the West Virginia desert in more than 5 years, mostly because there was only stone nearabout, no soil to bury themselves in. Also, they had to travel to get here. And here was the middle of freaking nowhere. Crawler AIs were smart. They went to cities where they could cause mega damage, not into a desert of stone. Unless one had been targeted at me, or deliberately dropped off near here, and something had triggered it to come hunting me. And the perker then set off the kutta. The fear sweat trickling down my spine went cold in the heat. A week ago, I clarified softly. You say the sensor you're looking for was triggered by a perker. A week ago, a perker had entered my land. My kutta had sent out an alarm to OMW Central. Yet Mateo and I and our exquisite security system hadn't received the alarm or spotted the perker, because we hadn't been looking. We'd gotten sloppy. Bloody damn, bloody damn, bloody damn. In my earbud, Mateo suggested a sexual activity that was anatomically impossible by anything with bones. I rolled to my feet, slamming my ungloved hand into the war sleeve at my side. It clamped around my hand, forearm, and molded to fit up to my bicep, the scales adjusting to my slender form instead of the muscular dead soldier I'd taken it from. Moving faster and smoother than pure human, way faster, I aimed my weapon at my assassin, and a piercing green laser centered on his chest with a soft hum and latched on. He tensed all over at the transformation in my body language and position, and my speed, and the fact that I was now wearing a functioning section of military dragon scale exoskeleton anti-recoil armor, a war sleeve with a Smith & Wesson XVR 460 Magnum now poking out the end. His expression said he recognized that the S&W's auto-targeting system had acquired the target. And the target was him, which was way more impressive to warriors than the big in-your-face Paragen. My visitor was a dead man smoking. Double dead. The two weapons trained on him could churn him to hamburger. The asshole puffed, squinted, and grinned. "Defenses," I said to Mateo, now not caring that Jagger heard. "Anything?"
"Nothing followed him. Scanning vids and stills from perimeter cams. Searching everything from the past week."
"We got problems," I said to the OMW enforcer, as the female hunter cats leaped or belly crawled to join the fighter cats. They were in two groups, staring in two directions. We had two perkers. "You know how to fight, Jagger?"
"Happy to make your acquaintance,"
he said, relaxed, still amused.
"But you have me at a disadvantage."
He puffed, a perfect smoke ring left his mouth. "A disadvantage? Oh, I knew his name. I hadn't given mine." "I asked you a question," I half growled.
"I'd do okay. I survived the Battle of Mobile."
Mateo laughed harder than I'd ever heard him. It would have been a belly laugh if he had a belly. Anyone who survived the Battle of Mobile with all his limbs and his mind intact was a miracle man with the luck of the Irish.
"I like this guy,"
Mateo said.
"Ask if he's ready to rumble."
His breathing had sped up. Mateo was getting ready to go to war. "Update," I demanded of him. Jager's eyes narrowed. He flicked them everywhere, seeking out the location of my confidant. Or his wartime instincts had finally gone on alert. Mateo said,
"I got nothing. Nothing on scans. But the cat's body language says we have more than one perker. Behind the outlaw and behind you, attempting to pinpoint positions."
Behind my glasses, my eyes darted, searching. Seeing nothing. My body tensed to make the rush to the airlock door and the armored and weaponized office. But between my position and the office, there was a wide open space. No cover. And Jagger. Mateo needed to detect the perker crawler, or crawlers, before I moved. To Mateo, I said, "Do a stills comparison. Look for something that didn't get caught by the perimeter motion sensors, moving too slow for the monitors. A crawler, something that's in a different place every time an auto shot is taken." The sensors were set to go off if anything moved more than 2 centimeters an hour. The security system took pics every 15 minutes, no matter what. Jager's body didn't change, but his eyes narrowed as he took in my demand about a crawler warbot. "Anybody can survive," I said to Jagger, pushing him, needing to push something, fight someone, my body flooding with chemicals and adrenaline.
"You know how to fight, asshole?"
"I was born fighting."
"Yeah? You fight many crawlers when you were wearing diapers?"
"No sign of crawlers,"
Mateo said.
"No sign of entry point."
Asshole puffed once more. But he didn't look so amused or relaxed now.
"I've taken on a perker crawler. It's been a good 5 years since I saw a slowbot."
The mama bot perkers had made thousands of crawlers. No way had they been all destroyed. "Same for me," I said. "Crawlers don't have good hiding space here."
"No soil,"
he agreed.
"You got mine cracks. Makes it hard for them to travel."
Mine cracks were deep, narrow drops into the earth, formed by the caving in of old underground mines or by mountaintop removal.
"Arsenic, toxic coal dust, benzene, and carbon monoxide never stopped a perker crawler, though," he said.
Mateo cursed. The fact that Jagger knew the terminology and the chemicals in the local earth made my insides clench. asshole knew too much that was info only a local would know. Or he had a better burger chip silicone implant than I'd ever heard of and had accessed local info. Update, I demanded of Mateo, panic setting in. The cat's body language said that this was taking too long.
Still no visual confirmation of Perker crawlers.
I had never seen this OMW before. If Jaeger was an OMW. But what if he was someone else? A plant. He was still targeted. If he moved, he was dead. But we didn't have much time. Not if we had a crawler on the property. The cats looked back and forth. Two crawlers. Yeah. Bugger. Who's Prez now? I asked. Asshole's eyes narrowed.
I've got a video trail,
Mateo said, grim as rust.
Medium-sized crawler. Still shots show it approached the border 2 weeks ago, moving less than 2.5 centimeters an hour. Once over the border, it sped up. According to current readings, your asshole's right. Your jacket sent out an alert 7 days ago, and it's still pulsing.
Unless I could spin this, and Jaeger bought my story and went away peaceably, the outlaws would know who I was and where I was. And it was possible that Jaeger had been doing high-altitude RVAC flyovers. I had defenses against auto-remote viewing aircraft, but I kept their notification sensors turned down. With all the raptors around, eating toxic rats and bats that crawled and flew out of the mine cracks, I had set the parameters low. Too low.
Bloody damn.
And shining, Mateo said in my ear.
I messed up. Bad. The crawler found the Sun Star. The Slowbot released one of the Sunstar's hatches. It stayed inside for nearly 72 hours. When he came out, there were two of them with more cumulative mass than when they went in. I'm running ship internal scans. Eventually, I'll figure out what the crawler plundered through and stole, but for now, the Slowbots have augmented themselves with space-going tech or shielding. And they're both missing.
Which meant the Perker crawler had started out as a single Slowbot, stolen space-going equipment, and its mech nanos had reconfigured it, breaking down into two smaller crawlers before it came hunting me.
Two.
I looked at the cats. They were slinking back but still watching two different locations. Bloody damn. They had found the office. Perkers were here, targeting me. Flop sweat trickling down my spine turned to ice. I could shoot Jaeger and get inside alone, but if he was OMW, they would send backup and no one who took out an enforcer lived to tell the tale. Also, a second fighter might be handy short term, if he was who he said he was. Who's Prez now? I repeated to Jaeger, flexing the dragon scale armor as a threat, my voice taking on tension as I calculated all my odds. And who do you report to?
Faria, I report to Mick Question.
I chuckled. The command structure of the OMWs had shifted, but only high-level made men knew it. The prez of the outlaws used to be important, back before the war. Now he was the PR head, the one the cops and the media thought was the top dog, while the man with the real power was the vice president. And his name was never given. The VP was always referred to as Mick Question. Asshole had just proven himself the real deal, or as close as I could get without scanning him and his tattoos with a viber, which would mean him taking off his clothes. In my peripheral vision, a cat leaped into the air. Others did the same. I tensed, not knowing why they... Gunfire rang out over the junkyard. Asshole leaped toward the office, drawing his weapon, dropping to the earth. Wartime reflexes. Mateo cursed. I fell into a crouch, mostly hidden beneath the rotating table, and slid the paragen from auto-targeting to manual. I had 46 centimeters of ammo. Not enough. Good thing I'd put the weapon sleeve on. I flipped a switch on my 2-gen glasses and gave myself access to Mateo's screens. It was a dizzying array, and it had taken months for me to use the glasses without tossing my cookies, but now I could follow Mateo's tech vision. Enemy rapid fire followed, full auto, short bursts. The third volley of shots raced across the front of the office, dinging and pinging and ricocheting away, not penetrating its armor. The crawlers and my unwanted visitor probably now knew the office wasn't an ordinary building. Narrowing search patterns, Mateo said, sounding more contained now that the battle had begun and his suit had injected him with roids and flooded his body with synth pheromones. The crawlers fired again, destroying my fake satellite receivers. Plastic and bits of copper and old computer parts flew everywhere. I'd stuffed the fakes with parts to make someone think they had taken an outdated system offline. The Entnew stuff was inside the spaceship, where the crawler had been. Damn. The perkers fired, hitting my rain catcher on the roof. Not that it had rained in the last 2 years, but still. Bastards. Jaeger sprinted, now behind a stack of old engine blocks ready for crushing. Smart move. Located, Mateo said. Perker Bot A is confirmed at 15 meters from you at your 2 o'clock. Perker B Bot is at your 6, 12 meters and closing. Like I'd thought, behind me, bloody hell. Mateo's vid screens divided, showing 2 images, current date and time. I watched as the matte black half-bots trundled toward the office at full speed. The larger bot, Bot A, moved 3 centimeters a minute. The smaller one, Bot B, had fewer foldouts but was twice as fast. Bot A had more weapons, Bot B had speed. On a third screen, I saw a dark, hulking reflection moving in on 3 legs. Lifting himself over ancient transmissions, rusting body parts, racks of hatches and doors, a century or so of vehicles, most of which were on site long before the war. The warbot Mateo was on the move-in stealth mode, his long legs rising and setting down, his 3 longest limbs providing balance like a spider's legs to facilitate both speed and silence. His warbot suit looked like an old kid's toy. Only a lot more deadly. Can you get a shot? I asked. To my right, a cat, the gray male, leaped across a pathway 3 meters in the air and disappeared. A striped female skulked on the ground around a stack of disintegrating tires. They were hunting the crawlers. Why? Targets acquired. Take cover, Mateo instructed. Shouting the instructions to Jaeger, I curled into a fetal position behind the table, hands over my head. Not that the position would save me. If any size perker crawler got to me, even with the table shielding, it would take me apart. Perkers were patient, thorough, and nearly indestructible. Firing WAMA. A WAMA was a warbot-launched multipurpose assault weapon. A big-ass shotgun, a small cannon, or a small missile launcher based on the ammo used. Mateo fired, fired again and again, which seemed like so much overkill. Did you get it? I shouted over the concussive damage to my ears. Negative. It's... Mateo cursed again. It's got ship shielding. The perker had gone into the Sun Star. It had dismantled some part of the engine shielding, or maybe the shielding off a mid-sized space-going observation capsule, and adapted it to its own exoskeleton. I needed to get inside the office, but I'd have to cross the space between my dubious protection and the doorway, which they had likely been waiting on all along, and Jaeger was now nowhere in sight. I took a breath that stank of the remembered reek of war sweat and burned ammo. I forced my body to uncurl, carefully, knowing what I was about to say might set Mateo off, I asked. Do the crawlers have puffers? A perker crawler often carried puffers. Puffers carried mechanical nanobots. Puffer mech nanos had taken Mateo down. Mateo hissed out a breath, metallic and grinding and full of fury. Searching. Puffers were attendant automatic weaponized mini-bots that could slide out of the perkers' receptacles and go hunting on their own. Mini recon bots, or hand grenades on wheels, or specialized cutting and dismembering systems on wheels, all with versatile origami-inspired construction, allowing the wheels to collapse inward and the mini-bot to fold into a flat configuration like a horseshoe crab. NASA had invented them for Mars explorers. Mama bots had stolen the concept and weaponized the puffers. Puffers swarmed like bicolor ants, and because they were solar-powered and had mech nanotech self-healing, self-altering puffer-building capabilities, they simply never, ever stopped. They had to be crushed or pried open one by one and blasted with anti-grav to kill them. Unless someone had a secret weapon. Or was a secret weapon. Let me know when you see them.
You can't, Mateo snarled. You don't even know if it will work.
If I don't try, they'll kill us eventually. The only way you fought the nanobots inside your suit was to close it down, set it to run on auto, and hunt them one at a time. And that was in a confined space where they couldn't run and hide and reproduce and come back with more bots. It took months and you nearly died. Out here, we'll lose for sure. They were bad, horrible months. The nanos had been inside his suit a long time before they had reproduced enough to start making changes to the suit. And they had eaten parts of him before he figured out that anti-grav forces would destroy nanos. We'd had to blast his entire suit. We have an entire junkyard for them to hide in, I said, trying to convince him.
You have a witness. You cannot.
I thought about Buck Harlan in the Tesla. He died getting me a message, probably the message that the perker crawler was on the way. A death sentence. The perker now knew I had a spaceship on the property, which would motivate it even more to destroy me. And the asshole? He was a black hole of uncertain possibilities, none of them good. Someone knew I was here. But that someone didn't know what I could do.
Shining. We don't even know if it will work. Try it my way first.
Mateo stopped, fired. When the dust started to settle and I hadn't answered, he added,
please.
Mateo didn't beg. Not ever. About anything. His polite request was a first and it made me melt inside. An angry melt, but still a melt. Fine. I snarled. According to the screens, Bot A is nearly in position to take me. Bot B has stopped and is waiting for A to achieve attack position. Concur?
Concur. I'm in position with a clear line of fire to both. On three, I'll lay down attack and cover fire, and you get into the office. If you see Jaeger, take him with you.
You sure about him?
Hell no. But he's human, and he's OMW. We don't leave either to a perker. One.
My body went liquid, as battle chemicals and human adrenaline flushed into my bloodstream like a flash flood. Still wearing the dragon scale armor sleeve, I slammed the paragen to full auto and swiped control of the weapon to Mateo.
Two.
Crouching, I braced my feet, placed the palm of the war sleeve on the AG grabber support.
Three. Go, 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 go!
I was already moving, shoving off, the dragon scale sleeve stretching and contracting, throwing me across the wide open space and through the air, jarring my shoulder, spine, and pelvis, but making me freaking move. Mateo fired, a double barrage of ammo. I went deaf. My feet touched down in the dirt 3.5 meters from my previous perch. Legs bent, thrusted into a dead sprint. Battle reflexes honed and augmented by what I'd become. The crawler bots fired, blasted the air where I'd been in the front of the office, but I was inside the protective airlock, heaving myself inside faster than pure human. Where's Jaeger? I shouted over the sound of gunfire and the airlocks closing. Searching. Screens, I said into the odd silence, slapping a headset on and slamming my body into the oversized defensive neuro-based pressure command seat designed for space travel. The dragon scale war sleeve slipped into the control unit and connected. Every screen in the junkyard came online. On three of them, I saw cats fighting with puffers. Bloody hell, puffers. On one screen, two striped females were a ball of fur, fangs, and claws against tech. The gray fighter male was rolling across the dirt with another puffer. A third minibot was disassembled next to the body of its cat attacker. That thing killed my cat. Where are they? I snarled. Bot A and Bot B had disappeared, except for the cats patrolling and stalking groups of three or four. Nothing moved. Using remote activation, I dropped the hot-as-a-furnace AGR Tesla with a whomp I felt through my feet and redirected the AG grabber, wishing I had a portable model. The grabber arm swung clockwise. I had to blast the injured puffers before their AIs ordered their nanos to rebuild. Mateo's painful experience suggested I had around 2 minutes before the reconstruction of the broken puffers commenced. Jaeger is behind the office, Mateo said. 4 meters from the back hatch. I flipped switches and brought up the rear screens. Jaeger was holding a bleeding cat in the curve of one elbow and his weapon in the other hand. The cigar was nowhere to be seen. Is he clear? Affirmative. I engaged the back airlock to prepare to open and flashed the green light above it 3 times, then 3 more times. It caught Jaeger's eyes and he nodded, knowing, hoping. He was on camera. I flashed the light once, waited a beat, flashed it a second time, waited a beat, giving him a rhythm. Something flew through the air from behind Jaeger. The office array sights identified it as a spinning fragmentary grenade. The war sleeve targeted the frag and fired. A small laser drilled across the spinning surface and through the small bomb. Still 4 meters out, it exploded. Jaeger ducked. The green light flashed again. The airlock hatch popped open. Jaeger sprinted and dove into the airlock. I closed the outer hatch and took out another mini grenade launcher, spotted the puffers that had fired them, both rolling beneath the fuselage of a Boeing-constructed warplane. Damn. I punched open the inner hatch, and Jaeger rolled inside before it opened halfway, and I punched it closed. I didn't look around. There wasn't time. With the war sleeve, I lifted the AG grabber over the closest downed puffers out front and engaged the mechanism. It was hard to kill puffers, but if you managed to rupture the exoskeleton and then hit it with anti-grav, it fried the internal nanobots. Without the nanos, the puffer wasn't coming back. The puffers rose into the air and vibrated as the energies hit them. Jaeger settled to one knee. He was breathing hard, trying to blow off toxic adrenaline breakdown chemicals, but he still saw too much. "Where the hell did you get all this?" he asked, meaning the office, the launching systems that had rolled out to fire the weapons. The recoilless firing systems, the space-worthy tech of the screens and command board, and the roomy extra-extra-large NBP seat. The chair was clearly not designed for a human. But this was a scrapyard. Scrappers could get stuff others couldn't. At least, that was what I hoped he might conclude. So I didn't reply, just aimed the AG grabber at a half dozen puffers Mateo had crushed into pieces with a car engine. It sucked them all up at once. The puffers did the AG dance as they expired, their little nano brains fried. I set them to cook and added a timer for the grabber to auto-shutdown. "You're her, aren't you? Shining Smith." A frisson of shock and fear sliced through me. Bot A emerged from the protection of a skid full of big pre-war electric motors. I fired everything I had at it. The concussion of that much ammo juddered into the office and shook my body. No idea what you're talking about, asshole. The two puffers who fired the frags are still loose. I have two more puffers that need to be fried and... My voice rose. I'm low on ammo. I flicked a glance at him to make sure he knew I was ticked off and busy. You up for loading, or do I need to ask the crawlers to take a break so I can hold your hand and sing Kumbaya? Jaeger laughed, the deep tones scraping along my spine. You got a mouth on you. I like it. I can load, but your cat is dying. I spared the cat in his arms a glance. It was the gray male fighter cat. My heart sank at the same time it softened because a man carrying and caring for an injured cat was weirdly sweet. Remotely, I slapped the med bay open. A soft pink light lit the room. Schedule C1 is for male cat. Jaeger rose to the med bay and chuckled because I had a med bay already programmed for cats. I heard the appropriate clicks followed by the whoosh and the hum as the med bay engaged. As I scanned for the crawlers, I heard the snapping as Jaeger began loading ammo into the depleted office weapons and removed shells that had dropped into the capture nets. Without a pause, he also loaded the heaver weaponry. Maybe he really had been at the Battle of Mobile. Everything was recognizable to him because the office's offensive and defensive arrays had been modified with Earth-based weapons. All the good stuff was hidden. There was questions about where I'd gotten all this stuff likely meant he was going to figure out way too much. Why aren't they dead yet? He asked of the small crawlers. You've expanded enough ammo to take down a tank. Unless I could come up with a plausible lie, I'd have to tell him about the spaceship buried out back. Bugger. I rapid-fired 3 9mm hollow points at a puffer, shifted the AG grabber to the downed puffer and fried it. Sighted another puffer and repeated the process, treating them to the anti-grav energies as fast as I killed them. Mateo said into my earbud, Bare identified. It has SS armor-piercing warheads, and it's targeting the office. I found the screen, ID'd the aisle number, and saw it was a straight shot to the office. SS armor-piercing warheads were designed to take out spaceship armor. The shrapnel alone could be sufficient to damage even the office. I had to risk powering up the office's defensive shields. They'd be visible from satellites, and I'd be totally screwed if the gov found me. But screwed might be better than dead. The fact that it was still daylight and energies might be hard to detect from space convinced me. I ripped off my glove and slammed my left index finger down on the screen, activating the WIMP particle-based shields. A faint orange glow filled the air, sparkling off the dust and weapon fire smoke hanging there. Mateo fired. The blasts shook the raw stone under the office and up through the office floor. Jaeger cursed in surprise. Bare down. Fry it, Mateo said. I flipped off the shields, found the disabled bot on the screens, and swung the grabber toward it. It doesn't reach. And I'm blowing through my stored power like pre-war Vegas. I can't keep this up.
Recommendations?
Mateo asked, only a hint of snark in his voice. Can you pick up an engine block and use that to shove it 6 meters closer down aisle Alpha 1?
I might miss some pieces,
which meant puffers and nanos all over the junkyard. I blinked away frustrated tears, thinking about hunting puffers for months. We got no other options. Except to say we need a portable AG grabber.
Hindsight, he agreed, more gently.
You might be the brains to my brawn, but you aren't perfect.
No, I wasn't perfect. I knew that. But with Mateo's brain permanently scrambled, the decisions were up to me, and I hadn't thought through potential threats. Pops would have been pissed. I should have bought a portable grabber off the black market long ago. With one hand, Mateo picked up an old V8, nearly 270 kilos of rusted heavy. He carried it to the disabled Bot A and placed it to one side. Bending over the engine, he braced his three legs and adjusted his gyro balance to push. With the V8 between him and the bot's nanos, and any puffers that were still active, he began shoving.
You're loaded, Jaeger said. Wand your hands, I instructed him. Why? Just do it, I answered, because I couldn't exactly say that he had touched my stuff and now was likely to die. Holy shit, you got a warbot, Jaeger said, peering over my shoulder. That I ignored. But B trundled into aisle Alpha 1 behind Mateo. Behind you, I shouted. Mateo shifted, lifted a lower limb, fired. SS armor-piercing warheads took out the bot. Mateo's cybot limb flexed with the recoil, nearly knocking him over the engine. He corrected his balance and kept pushing bot A, not touching it himself, hoping the extra distance would keep him free of nano-contamination. He wasn't even breathing hard when he said, "In position. Leaving the bot in the V8 for anti-grav decontamination. Going after bot B." I positioned the AG grabber over the crawler and the engine and waited. Our 2 minutes were nearly up. The bot's nanos would activate in seconds. Using an electric engine this time, Mateo shoved the second crawler over, stacked the electric engine on top, and went back with a steel bristle broom and a heavy-duty dustpan sufficient for picking up hemp plaz and synth metal parts. 10 seconds, I warned. He emptied the scoop under the grabber and stepped away. "Frying it," I said. The grabber lifted the 1,000 kilograms, give or take, as easily as it had lifted the puffers. I set it to cook for an hour, which would leave us with a lot of time. We couldn't fry other stuff, but I couldn't see another option. The energy usage was draining my reserves. Timing was going to be dicey. But the sun was still up and the solar panels all showed green. They hadn't been hit by the weapons fire, so I was still collecting energy. "What about you?" I asked, meaning what do we do about any nanos that might have infested Mateo's warbot body. Again. "Running diagnostics," he said. "I'll set the suit to scan me every hour. If I see something, I'll cut it off and you can fry it. Then I'll reassemble it." Mateo sounded calm and matter-of-fact. Clearly, he had been thinking about protocol should he ever be infested again. He hadn't freaked when I mentioned puffers. He was doing good. Real good. That said a lot about his improving mental capabilities and health. I'd spent a lot of money on burger chip plugins to help restore his brain and give him back his memories. Money well spent. "Copy that," I said. "Keep me informed." "Got another batch of cats on a puffer," he said. "Screen 47. I flipped to that screen and saw 4 cats, all female, stalking a puffer. The puffer was a little larger than most, with a square device on top instead of a weapon. That made it a recon puffer. It was hiding under a shipping container full of folded flight wings, part of a batch I had lucked into last month and hadn't gotten around to unpacking. The shipping container made a nice shady resting place for the puffer. It also allowed the cats to slink up on it unobserved by any sensors on the puffer's carapace. Jaeger leaned in closer beside the defensive control seat. The scent of sweat and sunscreen and engine oil and road dust and cigar and man wafted from him. A remembered scent. Distant, but interesting. I breathed him in. My own no longer strictly human body reacted. "What are they doing?" he asked. "Hunting." "But they're cats. They have to know there's no protein benefit to the puffers. No caloric benefit either. Because that was why cats hunted. Food. Normal cats, that is." I spared him a slant-eyed grin before returning to the screen. "Yeah, on the surface, it's a waste of time. But a crawler, an interloper, entered their territory, divided in two, had babies, and went after the source of their food and water. Me. In cat hierarchy, I successfully killed the perker parents, proving I'm the alpha cat. Based on that evidence, they have to kill its babies, or the babies may grow up and kill me, and they'll go hungry. You're implying the cats have intellect, the ability to reason, and sentience. Shining, Mateo warned in my ear. My smile faded. Jaeger already knew too much. He'd seen the office. Worse, he'd touched things in the office. No matter what happened, it was already too late for him. If he somehow lived, Mateo would want to take him out rather than let him tell the outlaws what he'd learned. At best, if Jaeger left the junkyard at all, it would have to be a vastly altered Jaeger. I held in my sigh. Yeah, I said to Mateo and to Jaeger, each for their separate comments. Watch. The female cats were a mixed bag in terms of coloration. One with wide black and gray stripes, one with narrow tone-on-tone gray stripes, one with orange stripes and a white spot under her chin, and one with splotches of brown and white and black. The tortoiseshell was the original matriarch of the pride. She had strange, long, bobcat-like tufts on her ears and one gimpy paw that had been partially amputated after a junkyard accident. I called her Tufts because of the ear feathers and because she was, well, tough. Most of the other cats were just called Cat. I wasn't imaginative with names, and there were a lot of cats. On the screen, Tufts crouched on the edge of a stack of rear hatch doors. She looked at Wide Stripe, who belly crawled a meter to her left. She looked at Narrow Stripe, who scooted back into deeper cover. The striped female cats were Tufts' lieutenants, each one the primary breeder in one of the two prides. Tufts looked at Spot, the female with the best vantage for ambush and a proven warrior. The orange-striped cat flicked her ear tabs, then leaped at the puffer, a silent killing machine. Spot landed on top of the puffer, claws digging in as it bucked on its collapsible wheels. She rode it, flipping it over and leaping out of the way. The gray-striped cats launched from either side and latched on to the upside-down wheels holding them. The puffer was now immobilized, unable to right itself. Spot released her hold and slid to her feet to begin ascent reconnoiter. In less than a minute, she found the tiny seam where the puffer had been sealed for active duty. She began to scratch around the seam, sensing with her claws. She went still and looked up at Tufts. The matriarch tensed, her eyes fiercely intent. Spot repositioned her body and dug in, releasing the seal. The puffer bounced and twisted, pulsing its wheels. The striped cats pulled the puffer apart. It stopped moving. When the cats were sure it was dead, they pulled it into the middle of aisle Tango 3 and sauntered off. Tufts looked directly at the camera and licked her lips, making a demanding "meow" before she turned her back on me and jumped high to a skid full of ship anchors. Tracking her hunters from above, she followed as they searched for more prey. "That's..." Jaeger went silent. "Shining," Mateo said with a metallic sigh. "Yeah, I know," I said to them both. "You have sentient killer cats, and you have a war bot," Jaeger said, in awe, going back to the most important part. "Yeah. I'd have to change Mateo's name if I introduced them. Something similar, maybe like Matt." On the next screen, a puffer appeared. It was a grenade launcher mini-bot. Jaeger reacted quickly and shot it to pieces. I notified Mateo, who went to pick it up. Another puffer appeared and was shot down by Jaeger. Another. And another. My new pal seemed to be having fun. Jaeger moved closer to me, again watching the screens over my shoulder. It felt odd to have him there. Comforting and frightening, and something else I had pushed away from my life and decided I'd never experience again. His scent was sweat-ripe and cigar-strong, tainted by the tang of engines and gasoline. That rare OMW scent that made me want.
I stopped myself right there. Unless Jaeger survived the transition and I managed to alter his memories, he was a dead man walking. Warbot, I said to Mateo, can you gather up the parts and add them to the frying crawlers without getting your suit infected?
Roger that. Can do.
But he didn't sound happy about it. Or rather, he didn't sound happy about our visitor, who could have slipped my throat at any moment for the last, I checked my chrono, half hour while I defended the junkyard. And he hadn't. Jaeger was, for certain, one of the good guys. And that broke my heart.
What's his name?
Jaeger asked. I swiveled my chair to him, thinking Jaeger was asking about Mateo, but found my visitor peering into the med bay. I removed the war sleeve, which hurt like a mother as it disconnected, and joined him. I pulled on gloves as I moved. It was likely too late, but maybe. He's Notch because of the notched ear. The cats have sentience and some sort of group communication, like ESP, he said. Like those birds that move in concert and flight and look like living clouds, or fish in the ocean. Seems so. No way to prove it. You could catch them, have them taken for study. Which someone might want to do to me, now that I'd broken cover. No. Jaeger's eyes met mine and he smiled. Up close, his eyes were a dozen colors. Pale milk chocolate brown and green, and in one, a tiny spot of blue. In the confines of the office, he was taller than I had thought. Broader. His scruff of beard was maybe 2 days old. And bloody hell, that achingly familiar scent. His hand lifted and I thought he might remove my orange glasses. Something inside my chest did somersaults as my entire system responded to a man I didn't even know. Carefully, deliberately, I stepped back and didn't touch him. I respect that, he said, dropping his hand. Warrior honor. Unsettled, I bumped into the fridge, used it as an excuse, opened two more beers, wiped them both with a skin wand, and set one for him on the table at the dining booth. I had stripped the booth from a high-end RV, and it, along with the RV bed, were intended to hide what the office really was. From Jaeger's reaction, I wasn't sure I had succeeded. Taking the beer, Jaeger stood beside the leather bench at one side of the booth, opened the bottle and took a swig, then took a step toward me. And another. Well, you gave me a couple beers and entertainment. His eyes sparkled like milk chocolate fireworks. Best battle I've been part of in weeks. As first dates go, it's been pretty good. He stopped in front of me. Close. Too close. The progression of the bottle to my mouth didn't stutter, but it was a near thing. Bottle rim at my lips, I said. Date? Kind of presumptuous there, asshole. Jaeger laughed, the sound filling the office, vibrating in my chest, and lower, into the part of me that felt something. Something full of need and loneliness. When your cutie's tracking sensor went off, we took bets if it was really you. Shared photos from back then, told stories. I can see the 12-year-old shining in your grown-up features. Pointed chin, high cheekbones, eyes. This time he did reach for my glasses. I seized his wrist with a gloved hand, stopping him. His hand was tanned and dark and had long black hairs that curled at the knuckles. He stopped. His hand only centimeters from my face. Seeing his shining Smith just won me a month's wages, I figured least I could do is buy you dinner and a movie, he finished. Not my name, I said, ignoring the Kutis situation and pushing at his mind with my blood. If he was already being infected with my own special nanobots, I'd be able to alter his thoughts. Into my earbud, Mateo said, setting screens for auto-load so you can follow the cats. Consider it entertainment on your date. And yeah, there was some major snark this time. I don't date outlaws, I said, pushing harder. I remember Mama's boyfriend too much. I didn't date. Period. Not in years. Not that I'd say that. It would come across as even more of a challenge. Outlaws did love a challenge, and being told no was a major dare. I didn't know him at all, but somehow I knew Jaeger wouldn't use force. Instead, I would become his goal to wheedle, charm, pursue, stalk, and court. What an OMW-made man would do to get whatever or whoever they had been denied. Jaeger pulled from my grip, walked back, and sprawled on the bench seat, one knee bent, his boot heel on the wood beneath the leather cushion. Another man might have put his boot on the leather itself. Something about the consideration made me like him, and I couldn't afford to like him. Ladies tell me I'm adorable, he said. Old ladies are biker chicks, not me. I wasn't, and never would be an old lady. That was a term for one of the women who married into the outlaws or became a longtime girlfriend. I was not a goal to win or a woman to pursue. I was way more than that. His expression shifted and he sat upright, sliding his hand along my table where my own hands had been at breakfast. Ah, bugger. It had been less than 12 hours since I sat there, ate there, my hands on the surface, and I hadn't wiped it down. Oh, he said. Yeah. I never thought about how that might sound to you. You did what the rest of us couldn't. You stopped the mama bot. You saved our butts and earned the patches to prove it. Sorry. Don't have the slightest idea what you're talking about. But I did. I was a little girl. I was the only living female made man in the company at the time. I'd paid my dues, lost everything, nearly died, and saved the warriors of three chapters and a battalion of Uncle Sam's fighters from certain destruction. I'd been awarded my kutta, elevated in status, and honored. And then Pops died and the nanobots I had been infected with proved to be too dangerous, so I vanished. My nanobots, the mutation I carried and the infection I transmitted, were why it was already too late for Jaeger. Feeling the gloves on my hands, knowing they looked strange in this setting, I tossed Jaeger a package of processed cheese crackers and sat opposite him. No fresh food, I said, hiding the fact that I had a greenhouse, just as I hid so much else. And no getting out of here. Not until the puffers are all gathered and destroyed. What about my bike? I shrugged. Soon as the sun recharges my batteries, I can decontaminate it before you leave. Leave? We leave together. If that was an invitation, it lacked a certain charm, asshole. Shining. That sounds like a name. It's not mine. Eat your crackers. Into my earbud, Mateo said, make a decision, and make it soon. I didn't tell him the decision had probably already been made. I drank my beer, ate the cracker Jaeger passed me, sharing from his pack. We settled back and watched the screens as the cats skulked around the junkyard in small groups, killing puffers. Mateo followed the mayhem and destruction, gathering up the bot remnants and taking them to the AG grabber to fry. AG grabbers were pre-war tech. A lot of other stuff on the property was war tech, and I was not supposed to have it. Like Mateo's warbot suit, the only thing keeping my friend alive. Who's the warbot? Don't know his real name, I lied, speaking softly, slowly, pushing with my blood, continuing the attempt to alter his memories. That I call him Matt. The boss, the owner of the junkyard, found him working as a slave in a town not far from here and brought him back here to live or die. He lived. Boss might know personal stuff, but Matt and I don't share histories or private info at all. I like the modifications he made on his bot. He's good at what he does, which carried a lot of unspoken threats. Threats Jaeger understood if the fleeting, challenging smile was an indication. Really? He'd challenge a warbot? OMW dude was an idiot, on top of being an asshole. A good-looking, almost charming asshole. I clenched my fists at the need to reach out and touch him. He gestured to the screens with his beer. Don't reckon you'd let me take pics of the scanners and screens. Nope. Don't reckon you'd let me have a vid of the cats hunting. Nope. And I assume you have the means and capabilities to make sure I don't take vid or leave before you are ready, without your permission. Not bad, asshole. I grinned at him. Matt, how's our visitor's bike? I asked without raising my voice. Pretty little thing. Hope I don't have to hurt it, he said over the office speakers. Jaeger's eyes flashed at the mention of hurting his bike, but he smiled anyway. I'll have to be on my best behavior. Good idea, Mateo said. We sat in silence, watching the cats hunt and Mateo clean up. Time passed. Twice, Jaeger spotted something and moved to the weapons. Shot a puffer. Each time Mateo collected and fried it. They were working together, silent, which was a very bad sign for my own long-range problem-solving. The sun moved toward the west. The hottest part of the day passed into late afternoon. I made coffee, opened a pack of dried apples to share. Jaeger watched, his eyes on my gloved hands. The medbay light flashed 3 times and went dark. I got up to find Notch sleeping, breathing. His open wounds no longer open and most of his blood washed away. Medbays weren't perfect, but they were very, very good when the nearest veterinarian was 30 clicks away. I popped open the bay and used the disinfectant sprayer to wash off Notch. Thin, red-tinted fluid gurgling down the drain. I dried off the unconscious cat and tapped the panel, saying, "Instructions for rehab." The medbay's androgynous computer voice said, "Clear liquids tonight and tomorrow. Minced protein after 48 hours. Commence swimming therapy at 72 hours. Re-evaluation in 7 days. "Yeah, if I live that long," I muttered, laying non-fibrous padding over the thin, glued line of wounds and wrapping the cat's torso in sticky wrap. "Why wouldn't you live that long?" Jaeger asked, his voice coming from behind me, too close. My breath caught. That earlier longing moved through me like a slow wave, unfurling, covering, drenching all of me. "You ever make a cat swim?" I asked. "Not that I have water for cat paddling. No one does around here." "Huh." The medbay was an older model, from before the change of weather patterns and the loss of fresh water. Its instructions didn't take the low freshwater world into account. "I'll keep him in the back airlock for 48 hours, feed him according to instructions, drug him when he gets too wild. When I can get the bandages off without getting myself mauled, I'll let him go. He'll live or not." I glanced back up to see Jaeger watching my hands as I secured the tail of the wrapping. The sticky tape was bright purple. Notch would hate it. How I knew that, I didn't know. Most cats couldn't see the colors red and purple, except as shades of gray. All the junkyard cats were different. "You've worked on cats before," Jaeger said.
Tufts, Notch's primary mate, is a junkyard tortie, I said. Her paw got stuck under a skid early on in my employment here. Broke her leg, crushed part of her paw. She was trapped and was fighting it like a rabid cat when I got there. She calmed down when I talked to her, explaining what I was going to do. Not that I thought she understood me. But even with the explanation, she wouldn't let me touch her. I figured I'd have to shoot her, put her out of her misery. I went back to the office and got one of my employer's weapons. One of dozens, Jaeger said softly. It's a scrap and